Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So this evening, we are recording another live session here with a gentleman who's been on the show before many times. He's I can actually say many times now. He's coming in from the West Coast. He's got a way bigger following than I do. And he's also a guest fitness guru co-host on the famous Adam Carolla podcast as well. So without further ado, the author of Fitness Confidential and the podcast known as Fitness Confidential, welcome back to the show, Vinny Todorich.
How are you doing, Scott?
Rocking out, man. I'm just fired up from a healthy dinner, so I'm like high on life right now when you eat good stuff.
All right. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I always love when you call and say, hey, would you be on? And say, yeah, absolutely.
I'm loving these reoccurring ones. This is nice.
Yeah, you know, people, I do a lot of reoccurring guests, and people say, what, you can't get anyone else to come on? It's like, no, the good ones you want to have on. And I just called myself a good one for you. But
You are.
Yeah, we do have good conversations, if nothing else, right?
I think that's what's the most important part for the audience, right? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's, and I think that's why you built such a successful show as well. It's like, dude, we have to think about us being in the audience. It's like, what do they need to hear? And that's what it comes, well, you just said, it's about bringing back quality content. Are we bringing back the good stuff?
Right. You know, and you are right about that. You know, I often sit around, you know, well, I don't sit around and think about it myself, but whenever people call or take me out for dinner or something and they want to know because they want to start a podcast or maybe they have one and they'll say, how do you make it successful? And I always have to tell them, I don't really know. And then they want, you know, they think I'm holding some secret back. And then I'll just say to them, okay, just go in the air and be brilliant. And they'll say, well, that doesn't make sense. And it's like, well, it makes as much sense as me saying, I don't know. You know, I don't know what makes some shows good and other shows not good. You know, and people lament all the time why my show is good. And, you know, but it's just because we get on there and we tell the truth, we state facts. You know, I'm not all about bullshit or bro science or any of that stuff. And I think in the end, it all kind of, you know, it comes out in the wash and people like it. And so we continue to do it.
Well, and like I said, you've been doing it for now. Have you guys reached a 5-year window or is it still 4?
I think this May makes it 5 years.
That's sick. That is awesome. I mean, 5 years going strong. I mean, again, you originally, again, for our newer listeners, I mean, Vinny Todorich, I already hinted in the intro here. We got VinnyTortorich.com. He's always going to be listed in the show notes. We do very, very detailed show notes. But again, he authored a book called Fitness Confidential. And a lot of people felt that it was a book that was going to be like shedding the light, which it does, shedding a light on the intricacies of the fitness industry and the fitness world. But it also helped really us as the followers or the new people reading his book or listening to his book got to understand some of your journey of surviving cancer and finding a new lifestyle to help you fight that crazy disease as well. And that's what comes back to what we just hinted about earlier, but that quality content, man, like this is real. This is raw. This is not BS. And
well,
yeah, that's what it's all about.
I think you're right. You know, as I say, you should always dance like no one's looking. And I always say I wrote a book like no one would read it. And it turns out if you write like that with the intent of, okay, I'm just writing this in a closet, no one will ever see it. I think that's what made the book do what it's done. But I can't imagine any other reason for it to be doing so well. I don't really offer any prescriptive in there. I don't say this is what you have to do to lose weight. Yet a lot of people, they've lost a lot of weight just by following the simple instruction in a book. One of the things that the big book companies wanted me to do, besides pull out all the stuff where I was talking about the likes of Jillian Michaels and all these people, they didn't want me talking bad about their people. But they also wanted me to do 10 pounds in 10 days and how to get rock hard abs in 5 minutes. And I said, look, I can't do that. And they said, well, why? Do you not want to sell books? And I said, no, I don't want to lie. And you guys are causing me to create a lie. And I just wasn't comfortable with that. That's why, you know, I had to do what I did. And I basically just did, you know, my book on my terms. And it worked out. I got lucky.
I think it definitely worked out. And you had the balls to go self-publishing, because that was, I think you're also one of the, we talked about this on one of the prior episodes too, is like, I think you're one of the early adopters of self-publishing. And that's not an easy feat. Let's be real, from a business perspective, like, you got to have a little bit of, well, that's not a little bit. You had a lot of skin in the game financially to self-publish your own book.
Well, here's what I learned about self-publishing along the way. I had a friend from back home. She's a psychologist or something, and she wrote a book, and she couldn't get it published. Mm-hmm. So she decided to self-publish, and she went to one of these vanity press companies. Are you familiar with the vanity press and what it is?
Yes, thanks to you and a few other people that I've stumbled across in the podcasting world. A lot of people are very honest about the publishing world, I found out.
Yeah.
But how about for our listeners? Let's shed a little light. Let's be real. I mean, our listeners need to catch up. Vanity publishing is definitely a new term for some people.
Yeah. So let's say someone wrote a book and it just wasn't that good, or no one wanted to pick it up. There's a lot of great writing out there that book companies just won't pick up on. It just doesn't fit their thing. But you spent all this time writing the book, and people will go to what they call a vanity press. And they'll say, okay, give us X amount of money, $2,000, $3,000. We'll do all the work, and then we'll print X number of books for you. But then you have to go out and figure out how to get small bookstores, which are vanishing, you know, or anyone else to carry it. If you walk up to Barnes & Noble with a vanity book, they'll just laugh you out of the store. Or they'll say, hey, we love this book. Give us 10,000 copies tomorrow. Just drop the pallet off. And you have to pay for that. And if they don't sell, you have to pick them up. So when people do vanity press, it's usually people like doctors or psychologists or psychiatrists who might write their own book, and they'll get it vanity published, and then they'll just keep it in their own office for years and hopefully sell it to their clients one by one to hopefully
get their money back. Yeah, they got to sit on the coffee table. Back. Yeah.
And then it's called a vanity press because then you could go, you know, to dinner with your friends and say, yeah, I've published a book. When in fact, you didn't really, you know, by definition, you've been published, but not really. You weren't accepted by the literary media as a published author.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you could do that, and then just all your friends will think you're cool because you published a book. Yet you didn't make a dime on it. You actually spent money.
And some people do that just to build authority. Let's be real. Like that's like, I know that's one of like our friend Michael O'Neill, the solopreneur. He talks about on his podcast how everybody under the sun who wants to publish a book now, next thing you know, they call themselves, you know, the best selling this and the best selling that, and like these weird little, I'm learning about these weird little categories in Amazon and other sites where it's like, yeah, it's easy to become a best-selling author in a segment that only has like three other authors. I guess that's
a
whole thing.
Well, I have
too.
A buddy who failed at every other business he was ever in. He was like a failed businessman. So he decided to become a self-help guru to teach other businessmen how to become businessmen. Yet he didn't know. It was almost like that character in Little Miss Sunshine where he was a self-help guy. Greg Kinnear,
yeah.
Yet he was failing at his own business.
Which
have a buddy like that. And over the years, he would say, yeah, I've published three books. And finally, I said to him, let's call him George. I said, George, you don't, what do you mean you published three books? I've never known you to sit down and write a book. He goes, no. All you have, you know, they would, you know, you could buy this content online, slap your name on it, and call it your book. He goes, you don't even have to write the book. You could just buy someone else's words. So when he goes out to give speeches, they'll say three-time best-selling author George, you know. And meanwhile, he didn't sell anything, and he didn't even write anything. He just, you know, it's basically legal plagiarism, and they do that. Well, folks, I didn't do that. What we did was
you definitely did not.
No, I took my book and I took the long route. I wanted it to look like every other book. So myself and my co-author, Dean Laurie, we found an editor. And we took that editor. We got an editor from, you know, the same people Simon and Schuster use. We hired this guy to moonlight, and he edited my book, Fitness Confidential. And then we hired another company to format it as a paperback. They also formatted it as a Kindle, a Nook, you know, every kind of electronic you can ever get it on. And then we went to the people at Audible, and we paid one of their people to do an Audible book. I read it myself.
And which I prefer then, that, by the way, real quick. I prefer as a segue, please, if you can at least speak the English language, speak your own words. It's your book. It's your passion, because that's something about your book is you end up releasing some of your own extra little nuggets of knowledge along the way, because it's literally your story.
I think it's important. We did it to save money, to be honest. And then it turns out that it was a good move. Because it was up for Book of the Year over at audible.com, read by the author.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever knew that information.
I did not.
Yeah, I was up against Dolly Parton, and we both lost. Someone else won the category. So, you know, all of this stuff happened. We did it all. It ended up costing me just shy of $15,000 to do it that way, to create my own book and pay all of these people and get it formatted and just do all the stuff. But, and by the way, I was prepared to lose the $15,000. You know, it's like this money may never come back ever. So that's where we were with it. Dean and I were hoping to make the $15,000 back. That was our first goal. And within the first couple of weeks, the book had made $20,000. And we were like, holy crap, we've made literally $5,000. We were like beside ourselves.
Well, because that's like the early entrepreneurial thing, and you've always been an entrepreneur. So it's like, that's your proof of concept. It's like, hey, man, like if we can at least, in that stage, you're not even breaking even yet, but it's like, dude, that's a nice chunk. I mean, that's a good sign.
Yeah, within the first month, coming out of the hole and actually making money. And then, you know, what happened next was something we couldn't have ever imagined. You know, the book just started selling like hotcakes, because Amazon does not discriminate. You know, Amazon will, you know, if you're selling a lot of books, they'll tell other people, hey, if you bought this, you may want to buy that.
We've also discussed right? that. I think we chatted about that on either 54 or 29, but one of those episodes on the show. But yeah.
Yeah. And it just keeps, you know, it just keeps rolling. And here we are. The book is 3.5, coming up on 4 years old in April. And it still sells, you know, and we look at it and go, wow, what if we had gone with a publisher? We wouldn't have seen another dime after that first initial hit that they give you, you know?
They absorb so much of the capital. It's ridiculous, because they have to justify their overhead. And it's like, in the end, it's still your name. You're still out there hustling. They're supposed to be hustling for you, I believe.
Well, look, I mean, I talk to friends of mine. You know, I have a lot of friends who have been published, and they'll say, oh, they want you to go do book signings and this and that and the whole thing. And you pay for everything. You pay for the, you know, your plane flight, you pay for your hotel, you pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't imagine doing that.
No,
I couldn't imagine. I mean, that would make no sense to me.
Yeah. It's like, if you're paying for everything anyway, it's like, then screw it. I'm going to do it my way. And you can't tell me what to do, because if I already got to be spending my own money anyway, like, What right do you have to tell me how to do things then?
Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. And I'm glad I didn't do it that way. And, you know, the book kind of gave me power, you know, and the internet has helped me a lot. I do everything on the internet.
Oh, it does. Sometimes, I mean, we were just talking about Amazon. Here's the best part. Last time, I think it was the very first episode 29 on our show, your first episode with us, we actually talked a little bit about this. And then I think you and I both hopped onto Amazon, and we were looking at your book and seeing how it connected up with our good friend Anna Vocino and her kick-ass cookbook, The Eat Happy Cookbook.
Yeah.
So now I did something different just now. All I did was search your name in Amazon. And there's three books to come right up. Yours, which has 1,370 reviews on Amazon, the star thing. Eat Happy is second. Which is funny, because you didn't even publish that book. That's her book.
Right.
But that's got 623 reviews now. And then your good buddy, Gary Taubes with Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It. He's crushing it with like 2,054 reviews. But that's funny how I search your name and those three books come up. The first one's obvious, yeah. But the other two, it's like, man, check out that connection.
It really is powerful. And probably if you pull up Gary's name, you know, my book might come up. You know, it's crazy how that kind of, like, he's going to do it right now.
Hell yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
I'd like to know what comes up. You know, it's all kind of, if you would have told me 5 years ago, because as you know, and people think I'm kidding about this, do I come up?
Hold on. T-A-U-B-E-S.
Still looking?
Oh, he's got a, that's weird. Oh, it's searching differently now. A whole bunch of other authors came in here. Something about impressions and interiors. Who the hell is that? If I scroll down to the, oh, here we go.
Now yeah, you got me looking.
There's a whole lot of, some author who offered a book, Impressions of Interiors, which is not even his name. Oh, because somebody by the name of Paintings by Walter Gay by Taub. So I don't know how Taub comes into the search results. Anyway, if you scroll through that mess, you get down to Gary's book and his book, The Case Against Sugar. There we go. And his book, Good Calories, Bad Calories, Fit, Carbs. Man, I forgot how many books he has. Jesus.
Yeah. He's pretty prolific. It. See, when I pull up my name, I come up with Anna Vulcino, Gary Taubes, Adam Carolla.
Oh, well, see, and maybe some of this is probably based on maybe my search history versus your search history.
Yeah. I think everybody's search history will bring up something different. But I, as you mentioned, I think in your opening, I'm somewhat synonymous with the Carolla Show.
Yeah.
So obviously that'll come up on my end.
Oh, the funny thing is,
I can't remember last time I put my name.
I just searched.
Have you ever put your name? Go on.
I just searched your name a second time, and now those same three results came up, but now it expanded a bigger search. So now we're getting in The Wild Diet by Abel James after those first three. Your podcast comes in. The BCD Code by our good buddy, Dr. Jason Fung. I need to get him on the show. There's Adam Carolla. So now I'm seeing some of the same results that you see.
Yeah,
there's your vitamins. Your vitamins came up.
Scott, do you ever just Google your name to see what comes up?
Oh yeah, I do it all the time. Just because I want to see how my marketing is working, because that's a good recognition of keyword searching.
You know, whenever under Wikipedia, I'm looking. It's like people also searched for Adam Carolla, Serena Scott Thomas, Rich Roll, and Gary Taubes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like. None of those people, you know, they're all connected to me, yet none of them are connected to each other.
But to be fair, they are all interconnected because of your podcast, right? Because you've all had them on your show.
Yeah. I remember the first time, you know, someone said, dude, you're on Wikipedia. And I was like, how does that work? You know, I didn't even know what it was or how it worked. So I went to Wikipedia and got a little freaked out. It was the early days of Wikipedia. Because, I was like, wow, not only am I there, but whoever did it or however this is done, it was aggregated correctly. Like, all of it was right.
Mm-hmm. Millie, because I don't even exist, really. You've definitely had somebody, they must have submitted you or something, or maybe because once you became a published author, you did something right, man, because, yeah, you're in there. Look at that.
And I'm looking at this. This is kind of weird because I haven't looked at my Wikipedia in a long time. Mm-hmm. He's credited for successfully working with several comedians such as Howie Mandel, true. Mm-hmm. Margaret Cho, true. Okay, now you've probably heard me mention those two on my podcast, right?
Many times.
How many times have you heard me mention Bill Engvall?
I don't remember that one. I've been listening to you for at least 2 years now.
Yeah, I don't think I've, but that's the truth. Carol Leifer. You probably don't even know who she is, right?
No clue.
Carol Leifer, longtime friend, longtime client. She, you know the show Seinfeld, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's the Elaine character. And as a matter of fact, she's one of the writer producers of Seinfeld. Because she was the actual Elaine character in his life back when they were younger. Brad Garrett. Do I ever mention Brad Garrett?
Nope.
Maybe, right?
I mean, no? You're probably way back. You haven't mentioned him in a while. I mean, you but know, because I literally, I go into a period where if I'm behind like 3 to 4 episodes, I'll bang them all out in the same day while I'm driving my car. You know that because I'm tweeting right. every time I pull the car over.
Here's a name that goes way back. I mean, I'm talking 1992, 91, Rhonda Shear. I mean, where does that come from?
I don't even
know. You
know,
Rhonda and I have been friends for years. I'm positive I've never mentioned Rhonda Shear anywhere.
Somebody had to have submitted this bio and must really know a lot about you. Or they just really are good at Google. I don't know. That's impressive.
And Robert Kelly, but Robert Kelly's been on the show.
Yes, Robert Kelly's been on the show.
Yeah, but that's not all the comedians I've worked with, but that's a good. I mean, Bill Ingvall and Rhonda Shear are the two that's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
I kind of wish
and even
they,
Carol Deaver.
I kind of wish they had our the gentleman that you're connected with regarding the seizures. His son, the grandma seizures.
Oh yeah, but I've never worked with. I guess they can connect me to him. But
well, you had him on the show.
Yeah, it would be Jim Abrams, but yeah, Jim I don't Abrams. See it in here. They have me connected to Dean Laurie. Yeah. I think people triangulate this stuff. How does you tell me? Since we're kind of going off the page here tonight.
Sure.
How does this happen? How does?
Well, the Google world, I understand. The Wikipedia, I don't really spend enough time in there, so I have a feeling. Maybe Wikipedia is extrapolating data from all the different places within Google, and it connects the dots. Like that's the one of the tricks to website design is if you can make your website flow continuously, meaning from page to page and from section to section. So if Google sits there and like finds your site, if it can easily float through your site through all the different pages of content because everything is interconnected nicely, then it likes you and you'll rank well. But if it's not well designed and it doesn't flow nice, then Google gets pissed off at you and then you don't rank well. That's like the short and skinny on that process. But part of that is using the right keywords, the right tags, also how your site is designed, because every couple of years then Google likes to shake things up. And like I think last time I checked, they were calling it the Penguin. They call their language Penguin now or whatever. So like they change the name of their language every few years and then shake things up, which pisses everybody off because they spend tons of money on all their marketing around keywords and Google AdWords and everything. And then they freak out when everything comes crashing down.
Well, that's why it's good to be me because I don't know what's going on. So, but you know, look, I get it. They have the Playboy Playmates here. I've actually had people from Playboy on the show where we've talked about it.
Yeah, it's because of Andy, right?
Andy and also, what's her name came on at one time, who was a big time exec at Playboy. I can't think of her name right now. And talked about the days we used to all hang out at the mansion and when I was training Playmates and all that. But Rhonda Shear, I mean, I know Rhonda used to mention my name like on Johnny Carson. That's how long ago we knew each other.
Wow.
She would mention me on Johnny Carson, but there's no way. And Brad Garrett, I mean, I don't know. And Carol Lee, I mean, and Bill Ingvall. I mean, I never bring up Bill Ingvall ever. Right?
Yeah.
But there it is. There it is.
That's scary.
The whole thing is just interesting to me. I don't know how it works or why it works, but it does.
Hey, in the end, as long as you're growing, who cares? That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And you're not shrinking anytime soon. I mean, obviously we talked about this in prior episodes, the Corolla effect, the Corolla bump definitely has helped you. And you're also helping his community too, because you're bringing his followers a new wealth of health and fitness infusion into that following base.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat of a symbiotic relationship. You know, he gets something out of it. I get something out of it. You know, it's all good.
Well, the best part, he brought you on because he got you, like he understood you and he wanted to pick your brain more. Wasn't that the original reason why?
Yeah, that was kind of it. You know, I think the way it happened, I think I've told the story before, but, he was doing a movie. He was shooting a movie and he wanted Howie Mandel to be in the movie. So they went over to Howie's little studio in a warehouse and they shot a scene or two there and they started talking about podcasts. Mm-hmm. And Howie, you know, being like a brother to me, he goes, Yeah, you know, my good friend and trainer does a podcast, and it's fairly successful. And he goes, you should have him on. He really knows the stuff. And Adam was like, yeah. You know, I guess he was glad handing Howie, because Howie was doing him a favor, you know, whatever. But then nothing happened after that. And then I got on Chris Laxamana's show called Resume. Chris Laxamana is one of the guys that works around Corolla Studios. And Chris happened to mention to Adam, he said, you know, I had this really interesting guy on today, and he would be great on the show. And Adam said, what's his name? He goes, Vinny Tortorich. He's a fitness trainer. And Adam goes, yeah, I've had that guy on. And he says, no, I've asked him. And he said, he's never been on. He goes, no, I've had him on. Who does he train? He goes, he trains Howie Mandel. He goes, yeah, Howie's trainer. I had the guy on. And he goes, no, I don't think you've had him on. So he goes, well, why don't you invite him on? So they invited me on the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
That's right.
And that was the beginning. And that kind of took off. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm doing every show.
Here's a crazy side conversation, because we've been having fun and just being all over the place today. The whole Dr. Drew thing, and I hate to make this connection, but one thing is, the cool thing about Dr. Drew is he's legit. And I don't want to be too much bashing another doctor, but there's that other TV personality. He has an O in his name.
oh, dude.
Like,
I just did. Okay.
Why do these guys differ so much?
Because Dr. Drew is not willing to lie to people. He's got way too much integrity.
He does.
I opened my show the other night at the, I was going to say Pasadena Ice House, but I was at Flappers.
Yes, another Flappers event. You've been really rocking them out there.
Yeah, right now we're recording this on Tuesday the 4th, and on Sunday the 2nd of April, I was on stage at Flappers. I opened the show. I always open my shows with a video. So before I come on stage, the audience, all of a sudden the music stops and a video pops up.
Okay.
And so they're sitting there watching a 3 or 4 minute video on Dr. Oz with some TV trainer, and the trainer is just doing some, you know, spewing some kind of BS. And I just let the audience sit there and watch that. And then the guy introduces me, and I come up and start yelling about it and just ranting. I just did a Dr. Oz rant.
It's not hard to rant. I mean, the guy he's just all over the place. That's why I can't respect the guy. Like, I don't watch his show anyway, but just, I see the stuff in social media and I'm like, holy crap, dude, like, take a stand on something. And I don't think he can.
Well, he doesn't care. He just cares about raping the public and taking money. You know, he doesn't care about your health. You know, one day he's talking about green coffee bean extract as being a weight loss supplement. The next day he's telling people to take red raspberry ketone supplements to lose weight. Day after that, he's telling you to do this and do that. And he doesn't care. All he cares about is filling his pocket with money. And they wanted to take his medical license away. They were trying to do that.
Yeah, how has that not happened yet? I mean, seriously.
Because it's America. He's a complete charlatan, and he can do whatever in the hell he wants.
Ugh, it's frustrating. It is. Because yeah. I tell people all the time, like, listen, I'm out here, like, crushing and consuming podcasts and audiobooks on a regular basis. And even I don't know everything. I don't. But I'll tell you as much as I've learned, and I'll tell everybody, I'm like, don't take my word for it. Go to the source. Go download the book. Go read the book. Go to their website. Go listen to that podcast. Like, I refer people to your show all the time, because you bring on way more PhDs and gurus than I've had a chance to, because my show just launched in September of 16. So it's like I'm playing catch up.
yeah, it takes a while, but eventually they will all come on.
Yeah, and that's the whole point here. It's funny because I don't know if you've ever heard of the Fitfluential Radio, that podcast, but I was listening to their podcast today because they're just as passionate as we are. And the biggest thing they talk about is the girl who founded it, she said, listen, I wanted to found this show because I want to start bringing more people out, like the experts, and bringing truth to what they know. And it's funny because her co-host, his name is Kevin Cottrell. And he is the guy who I brought him on my show. And he was one of the first big, big downloads episodes. Like, he was number two when I posted that top 10 I told you about last week. And the number one guy was Jack Cruz, which I just sent that introduction email back to you guys. And so anyway, Kevin Cottrell has been studying under Jack Cruz. That's why they both have a big, big, big following. And the Fitfluential radio podcast is her recent addition to her brand, Fitfluential. And her whole point is, you know, she's honest about her own journey, what she struggled with, how, you know, popping the pill is not the answer, learning and understanding more about your body and the value of things like circadian rhythm and proper sleep and being out in the daylight, not living behind fluorescent lights all day long, all of these things. So, they've built a pretty successful brand and their show is doing very, very well. So, but that's the point is we're putting out platforms, you, myself, those two, everybody else out here, hopefully to bring more of these experts to the forefront so more and more people out here can be listening to us. And it's not me, right? Like it's just like you. It's not about you either. It's like we're trying to bring people of value out there and some entertainment right along the way.
By the I know this is going to sound awful. Have I been on their show?
I don't think so. And I, we just talked about this last week when we recorded for your show, but I'm like, you know what? I might need to get you guys connected with them as well. I haven't met her yet, the founder of Fitfluential, but like I said, I brought their co-host on, Kevin Cottrell. And because I literally...
His name and the show sounds familiar to me, and I just don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, well, let me see something here. It's really easy if you were. Because if I Google like Live the Fuel plus your name, both your episodes come up. So yeah, if I Google Fitfluential...
I'm looking at it now. I don't think I've been on.
No. But again, you'd be a valuable guest to them, and they'd be a viable guest to you.
Yeah, you know, I guess you hear things. A lot of things fall by the wayside with me. If it's not right in my face all the time, it becomes difficult, you know?
Oh, sure. Well, and this is what I do. Like, I love it because I literally bring people on all the time. Like, oh, I didn't hear about this person, didn't know about that person. I love connecting people. I've always been like a networker. I get out and about and I connect with people. So I will tell you, their Twitter feed, because you got a big following, they have 117,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she's doing something right.
Yeah.
I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, I don't have many Twitter followers. You know, when you look at everything else I have, my Twitter is like the smallest thing. And that's the thing I'm on all day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't think I have 15,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, but you have a very active... See, it's not always about the quantity. Like, for example, we talked about this on the last episode you were on with my show, and it was like on that was actually 54, and for our listeners, and they're like, listen, like you stay in touch, you build relationships with your followers, and that's something rare in the social media world. You decide, you know what, I'm going to embrace Twitter, and you're actually using it. And admittedly, it's actually influenced me to use Twitter a little bit more too. So when I click and follow people, or if I really enjoyed a guest that was on your show, I follow them, I retweet them. You know that I tweet your episodes all the time. Then if there's something of value, I'm going to at least say, listen, I tell people this all the time, like take action, reach out to them, send a private message to them saying, hey, I really love that episode. I would love to bring you on my show as well. Some respond, some don't, but at least take action, reach out, because if they got a valuable message, it's worth sharing. You got to at least ask. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, all of it is, you know, it's all about relationships and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, you're doing it right. I wish I had more of you in me, if that makes any.
Well, thank you.
I wish I could do what you do.
Well, I don't know about what I do. I just take action every day, man. I did it today. I mean, you probably think it's kind of hokey. I don't know. There's some kind of, I have some president of a company coming on in a week. You ever hear those grounding mats?
No.
Like our planet, you know, has its own frequency. Like if you took a 6-foot-long copper rod and hammered it down into the earth and put a testing meter on it, it would be literally humming at a certain frequency. That's the planet. When they say right. They say our bodies, like literally our bodies are composed of energy, the mitochondria of our cells, all that Dr. Jack Cruz talks about it too. Anyway, they say, listen, a lot of us are out of whack. We're not in tune with our health, our fitness, our planet, et cetera. Anyway, long story short, they talk a lot about how our bodies are literally, you know, energy-producing machines, and a lot of them are out of touch and out of frequency, and they literally talk about the power of just getting out of your house, getting out of your office, going outside, standing in the sun, and simply literally standing and walking on the earth without rubber shoes on. So that's something they talk about grounding. So
I had another doctor on that started in with that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you've heard what I'm talking about. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right. So anyway, so she developed those mats, and one of her, like, literally, she's like, oh yeah, she's like, what's Mr. Motivation? Robbins. Tony Robbins has like 4 of her mats. So that's one of her claims to fame, is that he's bought 4 of them for his own things. So I'm going to bring her on the show. I want to learn more about what she's doing. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, you never know. And the funny thing is, I was at a conference this last weekend, and I met a doctor there, and he really liked what I was doing. And he's like, oh, hey, he's like, if I could ever connect with anybody, I was like, well, do you have anybody you recommend? And he's like, let me think about it. And then a day later, he messaged me over Facebook saying, hey, here's a woman. Her name is Allie Ochs, O-C-H-S. So I Facebook messaged her saying, hey, Dr. Glenn told me to reach out to you. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know Glenn. She's like, what do you do? And we've been messaging for 2 days. And she's like, yeah, I'd love to come on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So her company is actually called, here we go, in case you want to look into it, PEMFglobal.com. So for our listeners, that'll be in the show notes, but it's P as in Peter, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, F as in Frank, global.com. And that stands for Pulsed Electromagnetic Field. So their website, they literally have all kinds of mats and pads that I guess has to do with this technology called Pulsed Electromagnetic Fields. So their slogan, according to PEMFglobal.com, is take control of your health with PEMF, the all-natural way to combat chronic illness. Low-frequency pulsed electromagnetic field mimics the Earth's magnetic field to optimize our cell functionality. Might be a Canadian company, though, because they say it's Health Canada approved.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, and look, I don't poo-poo any of it, especially sure. if I don't know anything about it.
We can't knock it till we try it, or at least research it, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I had this guy, really nice guy. He was on my show a while back, and he had me on his show. And, you know, he had this ring on his finger, and it was sending waves to his telephone, Bluetooth waves, to tell him when it was like a mood ring for this century.
I've seen those things. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he had something else, and he was always looking at the phone and the whole thing. And I spent a couple hours with him, and then he got in his car. He got into his Prius. And when he got in, he had this this grounding device that was hooked somewhere under his seat to the chassis of his car. And he put the other end. It was kind of like, you know, the old phone cords that kind of like they twirl around. They can stretch a bit.
Yeah.
And he had the other one hooked to his wrist. And I couldn't help myself. I said, what the hell is that?
You do know the tires. The car is sitting on 4 rubber tires, though.
Well, he says, you know, it grounds me to da 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 da. I said, you realize you're in a Prius. You're sitting on a slab of batteries.
Yeah.
You have a ring on your finger that's sending electrodes from there to your phone and back again. You know, what do you think you're doing? And he started laughing. He goes, I know, it's all crazy. I said, yeah, think about what you're doing.
But more importantly, if he was literally trying to ground himself, your car is sitting on 4 rubber tires. So unless you have another, like a magnetic bar or a lead that you drag under the car to ground to the earth, like you can't grab. I get what he's trying to do. And again, I mean, Dr. Jack Cruz has some of this on his website too. That's why he's got thousands of followers. And I get it, but it's like, yeah, if you want to ground yourself, you literally need to ground yourself to the earth, not to your Prius, which to your point is full of literally batteries that, I don't know, I'm not saying it's going to, you know, revert back and shock you, but that's just interesting. Oh man, that's funny as hell.
Yeah, none of it ever makes sense to me, you know, when these people go too far. I think I had Jacob Teitelbaum on. He was talking about, you know, taking your shoes off and walking around. And I'm listening to all this going, I don't know how much this I believe.
Well, here's the thing. If you stripped all the technology out of it and you said, listen, everybody needs to get outside into Mother Nature more. That I completely agree with. We're spending too much time in artificial light. That's something that Jack Cruz talks about as far as your mitochondrial health. He's like, our mitochondria is at the cellular level. And he's like, the only thing that helps heal and rehabilitate your mitochondria is the healthy UV that comes in through your eyes. And he said, the problem is too many of us are wearing sunglasses. He's like, so if you wake up in the morning before sunrise, then you drive to work. And then as soon as the sun comes up, if you're lucky enough to still be outside, you put your sunglasses on as you walk into the office, and then you're stuck behind artificial light all day. And then if you're a workaholic, you leave and you've missed the daylight on the drive home. So like, you've gotten zero natural daylight. And that's part of what they're talking about, is getting people out of the, and this is something I agree with you, being a fellow cyclist and being outdoors. And let's be real, man, when we're outdoors and we're biking, we feel freaking great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a good life.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the last time, how long ago did we speak?
Last week for your show, because we had to re-record my episode to come on your show because you guys lost it somehow.
Did we talk about my new bike on
Hell
my show?
Yeah, we did. That is sexy. God. I'm jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. You and everyone else should be very, very, very jealous. This bike is just, is beyond belief. For your audience, the good folks over at Specialized, you know, just sent me this beautiful bike.
Yeah, actually, hold on a second. If you can pan your camera, I'm going to take a photo of, I have a big monitor on my desk here so I can see. I have my camera turned off right now just to improve our internet feed. Can you pan your camera at your bike? Do you have it in there or no?
Let's see.
Because we talked last week, you moved
your
camera.
While I try to do this. Yeah. Right, I'm going to move this up. Okay.
Because I'm going to take a photo of the screen, right? And then we'll tag Specialized in the post.
Okay. I don't know. It's kind of in a corner here. Let's see if I can turn it enough. Yeah, tell me when you can see it.
I can see the back wheel.
You can see all the ammunition sitting on that counter.
Now lean
can
to
you
your
see
right.
It there?
Yeah, there we go. Because I'm going to take a photo of this. That's a nice bike. Oh my God, that's nice. Yeah, because that's the S-Works, right?
Yeah, that's the S-Works Fuse.
Have you got? You were supposed to get it out the next day. Did you get out and ride last weekend?
Yeah, I did. I went out Saturday. Put like 25 miles on it, something like that.
So and what do you Sunday. Think? You've never ridden on tires that fat.
Yeah, here was my initial impression, because the last time I was on, you know, professional level bike, mountain bike, was in early 2000. You know, when I stopped riding mountain bikes. Mm-hmm. And this bike, when you pick it up, feels like a pig compared to my old bike. You know, it's a little heavier. And then you're looking at those big fat tires and you're going, oh my God, how can this thing handle? I've never been on anything this nimble ever. It's an athlete. The bike is an athlete.
You got to love nimble. The technology.
It's very fast. The way it's geared, you know, if you put too much pressure in one of the lower gears, you pop the front tire right off the ground. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of pressure, you know, that's kind of gearing on it, and you just pop it right up.
Did they give you a carbon wheel set with those?
It came complete with a carbon wheel set.
Shit, man, they really did give you the top of the line. Dude, carbon wheels on a fat tire bike is not
the
cheap.
Thing was.
That's ridiculous. Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I have like $8,000 worth of equipment sitting here from them. And as a matter of fact, when I went to the bike shop to pick it up, you know, they shipped it to Universal, the people that have been taking care of me for 25 years. And when I got there, there were people standing around it, checking it out, because you don't see many of these, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But man, the bike, it just handles like there's no tomorrow. I took it out again Sunday. I had my show Sunday and I had clients to talk to that morning. I do these consults and what have you.
Yep.
And I knew I had to get to the show that night, but I did get a little 16-mile ride in. You know, I just got out there and tooled around in the mountains, and
It makes riding fun again because it's something different. That's the cool thing.
It really is, and I can see myself doing what I used to do, where I'm just going to get out there on the weekends and go longer and longer. And longer, as long as I have water, I'll just keep going. And, I love doing it, man. It's just great.
Well, it's funny because I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, like I've upgraded my mountain bike many times over the years. So, but my road bike, I still have the same Made in the USA was one of the last years they did it. You know, Cannondale CAD 9, I haven't changed anything on it. And all my buddies have upgraded to full-blown, like, Madones, all carbon. I mean, you name it. And I'm like, nah. I mean, I ride a 63 frame, if that gives you an idea how tall I am.
Oh, wow.
So 63 millimeter, I think that was the biggest frame that they made. So, and I love the bike. I'm like, you know, it just makes you want to work harder. So it was beautiful. It's a beautiful red with silver accents, and it still says made in the USA on the rear seat stays going down on the white lettering.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to get rid of it. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, because Cannondale, like a lot of companies, all started going to, you know, Chinese engineering. Like, hey, we found a way to mass produce stuff. So it's, I get it, but that's why I'll never get rid of that bike. Probably in the next year or two, I'll upgrade the roadie. But I mean, I'm riding one of those, I'm riding a Cannondale Lefty 29er right now, and that's one step below their carbon race. I have their aluminum race. But just like you said, when you stepped into that store and everybody's looking at it, the bike before that, before I cracked the frame back in 2009, I built up a Salsa Mamacita. Salsa is a great company. That was my first step.
They really do, yes.
Oh my God, they've been around for, they're one of those companies too. They care about the quality, and they like doing stuff different. That's what I liked about it. Like, they're not the normal, like, real clean and traditional, like Trek and Specialized and companies like that, like Cannondale. So, but that bike, man, I walked in and they had it hanging up actually too. And people were just checking it out. I'm like, oh, here, I'm picking up my bike. And my friend's like, that's yours? And I'm like, yeah, dude, it was a Salsa Mamacita. It was my first 29er. And the best part was this. I ended up cracking that frame too. That's what made me get the new Cannondale. But the bike.
How are you cracking so many frames?
I'm a very aggressive.
Apparently.
I do things that some people don't want me to do. But the bike before that, I had a Trek Fuel EX7 full suspension, like your bike. It was all dialed out. That thing lasted 3 years. I cracked that frame, and it was the rear triangle. And it was, Trek guarantees your stuff for life. But they couldn't find my frame in their factory, so they sent me a brand new 9.9 full carbon frame, but it was it was the wrong size. I put it on eBay, and I sold it for a buy it now $2,000, like literally less than 12 hours. So I took all that cash, and I built the Salsa with it. Now, again, to our listeners, we're geeking out on biking right now, but you know, for a fellow bike lover, I don't have a fellow bike lover on the show very often. And this is what health and fitness is all about. When you find something that you're passionate about, it's like, this is what happens.
Yeah, the two things you can always get me caught on, and sometimes people do it to me on Twitter. You can always get me hammered on shotguns and the other one is bicycles.
Well, then you know, again,
either of those stuff.
You talk about shotgun and being you do a lot of target practice, but I can see just behind your shoulder, I see some feathers of some arrows.
Oh yeah. I do archery too.
I grew up doing that.
Did you?
Yeah. I was shooting compound for years on my family's farm, man. I set up targets. I would go out 30, 40, 50 yards.
Wow.
Oh yeah. I shot full compound. I think my old bow was a Hoyt USA and I had speed cams on it, and it was a compound bow, and I would think I was like 17.
Yeah, the bow, can you see the bow on top of that? It's kind of leaning on the back of that rack.
Yep.
That's a Hoyt Olympic recurve.
Yeah, nice. Oh, you're shooting recurve. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I'm old school, man.
That's legit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I went to the gun range to get my hunting permit when I was younger, but I never really got heavily into hunting. And then I just found I got to learn bow, and I just fell in love with it because, I don't know, there was something pure about it, and it really got me to focus. And that was something that I just always enjoy. I haven't shot in years, but I used to love it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you just really do never. I always say archery is the thing where you can shoot and then go grab your ammunition and shoot again.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, you miss fire, you just chase your arrow down, grab it, and refire.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, hey, I mean, this has been a very random episode. This is cool because our last two episodes we were very focused, right? I mean, I can refresh you. Our very first episode, 29. We discussed your story of cancer, why you came across NSNG, No Sugars, No Grains, something that I heavily promote on all my social media feeds. I'm one of your main followers. And then obviously you coming across creating Pure Vitamin Club and the vitamins and everything else. And that was back in December. And then I brought you on again in March, and we returned to talk more about NSNG, and we actually dove a little bit more into the ketogenic lifestyle. So I'm just bringing this up because in case some of our listeners want a little more meat, because we got more fun today, they can go back and listen to those episodes and follow even more about you and your feeds and your companies too. So, but besides, so do you have any more new shows coming up, or is that it for your spring launch? You've been on a lot of comedy events.
Yeah, it seems like I've been doing one comedy event after another. I told Mike August, I said, whatever you do, don't put me in the same neighborhood again. So we're trying to figure out where the next show is going to be. I want to move outside of this area a little bit because I feel like we've hit the same area, let's call it four times now, maybe five times. Mm-hmm. And it's getting a little, you know, a little old. You know, they hit the same area. So I want to get outside of my area. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to get some groupies. Like, there's probably a lot of regulars,
yeah,
right?
Some of the same people show up all the time. And it's kind of fun to see them, you know, this show and then that show and then this show. You know, it's kind of neat. But at the end of the day, you know, you want, you know, people say, when are you coming to Seattle? Or when are you coming to Chicago? Or when are you? And it's like, oh, I got to figure it out. But, you know, we'll figure it all out, I'm sure.
Well, that's his job, right? He's got to figure out where the next best attraction's at and then figure out if it's going to make sense to bring you in.
Yeah, I get you. Know, like, I would not want to do his job. Let's just put it that way.
It doesn't sound like fun. I mean, maybe he gets a high off of it. I don't know. But, I mean, that sounds a lot of work and very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I don't mind though, you know, and he doesn't mind, and we do the shows and I enjoy being up on stage and doing all that. And, we'll just keep doing it. You know, we'll do it as long as we can.
No. Well, you guys are doing great. I mean, like I said, I got to get Anna back on. I know we've only had her on once, and I want to give her some more love for Eat Happy. I've had on Annie back on a couple times now to really catch us up on all the new stuff with B12 and everything too, with Pure Vitamin Club. So, and just so you know, I think I told you this already, from episode 51 on, because this is probably going to be like 65 or 66 now, nowhere near your quantity. I'm catching up though. But you got a few years on me. I think you're like approaching 800 now, aren't you? Episodes?
I think so. We probably have that many in a can.
Yeah, you probably do. Because, I mean, how long is it going to be till my episode goes on your show? You're like at least a month out, aren't you?
I think I'm going to put yours up sooner than later. I think I mentioned to Tallulah to do you a solid and try to get yours up there. So,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Probably in the next couple of weeks, yours will go up. You know, okay. Because sometimes people ask, hey, can you put mine up before my book comes out or this or that or... Let's see. Right now, we have 790 shows out, yeah. Meaning up there. So yeah, I've done well over 800 shows at this point.
I know, I mean, that's crazy. And in 5 years, that's the best part, which is crazy too, because people are like, oh, you're doing. They're telling me like, oh, you're doing two shows a week. I'm like, yeah, that's gonna be. If you figure out the math, it's, you know, it's around, you know, 100 a year, and you're basically gonna be doing 800 in 5 years. Like, that's,
well, let's see here what that looks like. Okay, so let's say it's 5 years right now. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's 365 days a year, right, times five, and that comes to 1825 total days since I started the show.
Okay,
right?
Yep.
Okay, divided by, can we do it this way? Divided by 790. That means we've done a show every 2.3 days. Am I doing that right?
I don't know. Because I was going to say, well, hold on. Let me reverse that. If I take 790, and let's say we were at the 5-year mark, 790 divided by 5 years. is 158. You divide it by, and then that's the 1 year increment, 150 on average, 158 episodes per year. And then I'll reverse that, divide by 365 days in a year. And I'm getting 0.43. So maybe my math is messing that up. That's not going to work. I think your math makes more sense. So
I don't know. Yeah, it's, well, look, I mean, I now do five shows a week. At one time, we did three shows a week. So every third day, you know, basically half of every week has been done with shows, if you kind of do the loose math.
Well, actually, hold on. I fixed my math. If we were at the five-year mark right now, 790 episodes divided by 5 years.
And by the way, let's say we're at the five-year mark. Make it 800 episodes, because by the time we get there, we'll be well ahead of 800 episodes.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
So if you divide 800 by 5, you get 160, and there's 52 weeks in a year. So if I divide that by 52, 160 divided by 52 weeks, you're at 3.07 per week. So you're, you know, three episodes per week on average. At least over 5 years.
Yeah, that's a crazy amount of episodes. And
to help people understand the behind the scenes to our listeners, guys, like, that's just them airing. I mean, you don't know what happens behind the scenes. Like, I mean, Vinny, it seems like you've always tried to, from the beginning, I know you and Annie would try and bang out, what, a couple of episodes in one day? I think you guys still try and do that.
And then we would get, you know, when you got to get guests coordinated to come on, you know what that's all about.
Oh yeah, like I'm in hustle mode all the time. Like, I stumble across somebody, I'm either trying to tweet them, private Facebook message them, LinkedIn message them, like just trying to build a relationship to reach out to them. So I'm basically doing my own marketing. It's crazy.
And by the way, we all do. You know, that's kind of, and people ask, you know, people take me out for coffee and dinner. They come to town, they invite me out. And they'll say, how do you do it? And I say, look, number one, don't quit your day job because you're going to need to make money. And number two, you got to do them. You're always doing it. Always. You know, when other people are out on Saturday night, you're sitting in front of a mic doing a podcast.
And admittedly,
when other people are, you know, it's just crazy.
I've been learning from some of the more advanced people too. Like, I've since, which I know you don't use this, but I've since launched an embedded scheduler into my website because I do have a business to run and, like, you know, clients to take care of. So it's like, I can't be like, oh, well, dude, what's your schedule? Well, here's my schedule. What's your schedule? I'm like, no, just go to the website. It's synced to my Google Calendar, and I've set the time windows when I'm going to make my availability. Like, you're the only one that I wait for your email, and then I'm like, all right, I'll just look at my calendar. I'm like, okay, here's my options, because I'm adapting to you out of respect to you, because I know you've already admitted multiple times, like, dude, I don't want to deal with the technology. Just here's when I'm available. Are you available? And let's just do it. So I love the old school.
Yeah. I think I'm the only guy left that will do it this way. As a matter of fact, wait, I take that back. Corolla doesn't use a thing. You know, Gary calls me and says, hey, can you come in on Thursday?
Yeah, but he's got Gary.
Yeah, he does have Gary.
Let's be real.
And by the way, I have a bunch of assistants around me, but I don't use any of them. I give them, like, Andy has Chip, and Andy basically has Tallulah, and Andy has Buzz. You know, so everyone that I employ, Andy has. Because
nice.
I can't deal with anyone. It's like, I just have to do me, man. I got to be me, man.
Well, you got it, man. It's also your show. So that's like, you should be focused on just enjoying the interviews and the co-hosting sessions or whatever you call them and having fun, because that's what we need to be focusing on. Like, eventually, as this show grows, I'm going to do the same thing because I just want to focus on this. I don't want to deal with all that stuff.
Well, I don't get along. I don't play well with others. The only one that I get along with is a woman, and believe it or not, her last name is Tartarigi. Her name is Debbie Tartarigi.
Wow.
And she does this thing. She does stuff for my website. And everyone else has a problem with Debbie, because Debbie yells at everyone and calls them idiots. And that's what I love about Debbie. You know, it's like, yeah. And everybody goes, Debbie made me feel bad. It's like, okay, that means Debbie was doing her effing job.
Yep.
And I'll call Debbie and go, thank you, Debbie. Yeah. Love you to death.
Well, because that's,
but she gets on everyone's skin, and I love it.
Let's be real. I don't want to rant on how soft we've become, especially in this country, but that's what part of this is all about. Like, I had a client call me today. She's one of my good friends as well. And she's like, Scott, hey, I have this scenario with another business contact of hers, and she's like, you know, what do you think? And long story short, it was just, does she just hide her true feelings on the decisions she needed to make and then just mask it over with one of her clients? Or does she just tell them exactly how it is and say, listen, I still want to work with you. This is the way it is, but I'm not going to give up working with this other person because I guess two people that she's working with don't like each other. And I'm like, but you have to work with both of them. So just tell the dude, hey, I know you don't like that person, but I'm going to work with her anyway. We just won't bring her around. I don't know. Like, just tell them how it is. Like, you can't let somebody tell you how to run your business.
Right.
And everybody's right. Afraid to hurt people's feelings and crap. And I'm like, dude, if you lie about it, then you're just going to feel guilty and you're going to be like walking around every single day wondering when they're going to find out.
Yeah.
Just say how absolutely. It is.
Absolutely.
I could tell you've run your business that way for years too, man. Like, you're not going to let somebody tell you what the hell to do.
No, I listen to everyone's opinion and I use their opinions all the time. It's just on a day-to-day basis, I know that no one's going to work as hard as I will or care about my stuff as much as I will. So I'd rather just do it myself.
Just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can only delegate so much. That's something too. Like, I think that's almost like an entrepreneurial business lesson, right? Like, hey, you know how to do it right, how it's going to be done right. You can try and train people. Some people are trainable, some are not. And we don't know everything. We have to accept the advice and the consultations as we need it. But in the end, if you can't find somebody to get the job done right, you are going to have to do it yourself. So,
yeah.
I love
it. Well, that. I think we said the same thing three times. So, really.
I think we're good. I think we're definitely good. So Vinny, I mean, our last couple episodes, actually, every single co-host I bring on the show, I tell you about, I like to give them the final word of the show. And it doesn't have to be something always inspirational or motivational, but it usually comes back to, hey, what is that messaging, you know, that you're just trying to, as my listeners learn about you, like, what do you want them to remember about you and what you're trying to do with Fitness Confidential? Like, why does Fitness Confidential exist? Why do you keep doing this show? Like, what is the messaging you're trying to build out there that you're not going to stop doing with this show and everything else you do?
I'm going to throw a curveball at you tonight. There's
awesome.
Something that's been weighing heavy on my mind for a couple of days.
Okay.
Good friend of mine. I think I talked about it on the show with Anna. I don't think the show has come out yet. I took an impromptu trip to Louisiana.
Yes, you know,
I
the road
do that
trip.
From time to time. I hopped in my car and drove across country because I like to drive.
Did you take the vet?
And got there, and I wasn't telling anyone I was coming home, not even my family, because they'll figure out when I'm home, when I get there. They go, oh my God, Vinny's here. Let's go out and have dinner. But I wasn't going to tell any of my buddies. I just kind of wanted to make it a family trip this time and not have to go do the socializing thing. And I was coming from dinner the second night I was home, and my phone rang, and it was an old buddy of mine from back home. And he said to me, he goes, hey man, I'm calling you because I thought he was calling me because he figured out I was in town. But he was calling me because a close friend of ours, guy named Danny, he goes, Danny's in trouble. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, Danny's been drinking too much. And I said, wow, okay, how much? He goes, well, a couple of people have seen Danny. He's not looking good. Looks like he might not even make it. And this is odd because I saw Danny back in August, right? And he was a little depressed over his marriage and breaking up and the whole thing. But, you know, it seemed like he was kind of pulling it together. And so the next day, I pulled up to Danny's house. And Danny looked like shit warmed over, just to put it bluntly. He was yellow. His eyes were yellow. His skin was yellow. Clearly, his liver was shutting down. Apparently, Danny had an alcohol problem for years that was hidden from us, hidden from everyone except his family. And, you know, you go out with the guys, Danny would have a drink like everyone else. Yeah, I never saw him sloppy drunk or anything. You know, none of my friends get sloppy drunk. And I tried to help him. Tried to, you know, I said, Danny, can we take you to the hospital? We couldn't get him to go to the hospital. My brother convinced him to go to an AA meeting. My older brother was with me. So Danny went to an AA meeting or two that weekend, and I told my brother, I said, you know, he needs to be in the hospital. He needs fluids. I think he's going to die. And sure enough, 3 days passed, and after that, and Danny was dead.
Wow.
And I don't mean to bring your show down, but folks, listen.
No, this is real, man.
If there's one person out there, just one person. I mean, Danny was a fucking great guy, man. I don't know how else to say it. Just a really nice guy. And, you know, the bottle got to him. And, you know, we all think we have it under control until we just don't have it under control anymore. And that was this guy. That's who he was. He was too proud to get help. If you're one of those people and, you know, like, yeah, family members can try to come in and do a what do they call those things?
An intervention.
And you know what? If you think you have a problem, just go walk into a meeting. There's AA meetings everywhere. Just go to a meeting. Just go check it out. See what's doing. Because, you know, what happened to this guy this past week? And the fact that I was there a few days before he died and, you know, saw him and God, the condition he was in. And he literally called me when I got back to L.A. and said, thank you for coming by. You know, I went to a meeting or two. I'm hopefully going to do better. He was just too far gone. His liver was gone. And he died in the hospital a couple of days later. And folks, don't stay at that party too long. Get to a hospital. Get help. Get cleaned up. Join a 12-step program. Do whatever it takes. Life is too damn short to let the bottle take you down.
Powerful words. And that's it. Powerful words, Vinny. Thank you for sharing. Well, hang tight. I want to give you a proper goodbye. So, yeah. And don't worry about, again, to our listeners, guys, that is not about bringing you guys down. That was a powerful message, all right? Alcoholism or really anything, it could be drugs, it could be anything, can be affecting any one of us. And I just have mad respect right now for Vinny helping tell that story. Clearly, that's something that's painful, and I'm sure there's plenty of you out there who have lost friends, family, or friends of friends to something as unfortunate as alcohol. So please, take action, get help, listen to what Vinny just said. That was real, that was true, that was transparent, and that was beautiful. So again, guys, that's going to be our final words of the day. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Get help if you need it. Don't let the bottle take you down. Keep living the fired up epic life, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Good day, Live the Fuel fans. Hey, this is Scott Mulvaney, your host and founder of Live the Fuel. I just wanted to take a couple minutes here at the end of the episode to thank you for listening and also share some resources for you. So number one, please, thank you. Thank you for listening and thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the show so you can get regular your updates. I release new episodes every single week. More importantly, if you are using iTunes or you have an iTunes account, please go on to iTunes. I know it takes a few minutes to actually do this, but please submit a show review for the Live the Fuel show. It's one of the few ways we can use the system to help increase the exposure of the show. So again, if you take a moment to do that, please and thank you. All right, guys, more importantly, I want to get into some resources to help support you guys. If you go to livethefuel.com, I do have a resources guide online. It's called the Super Sevens Resources Guide. And in there, I have 21 different tips and tools just from that I've used over the past 3 to 4 years to help me get my different businesses up online, but also just health mindset-related content. But anyway, if you go on there and subscribe to my email list, you'll get that guide back to you for free. So enjoy some free content. Now, more importantly, if you're on Facebook, be sure to reach out to us and, number one, like the Live the Fuel page, but number two, join our Facebook group community called The Fuel Tank. Please submit a request and I'll be happy to welcome you into our community and help you along your journey as well. And then the last piece of this little message for you guys is our resources page. If you go to livethefuel.com/resources or just click on resources in the toolbar, I put in a number of companies on here that I've started growing relationships with that I trust and that I actually recommend. So first off is Villa Capelli. This is one of the purest olive oils that I've ever tasted. I've talked about it on the show before. So please use my discount code. If you use Fuel, F-U-E-L, at the checkout when you're on their website, you get 10% off your order. So please use that and thank you. More importantly, also in the health category in that page, you'll find a company called Pure Vitamin Club. We've actually had the founders on the show multiple times. I highly recommend this company. Please use my click-through link on the website. I don't have a lot of affiliations, but this is one that actually may give me a couple pennies back for every time people actually click through my logo for their Pure Vitamin Club on my website. So again, I highly recommend them for pure magnesium, Pure Vitamins and their new B12 vitamin coming out. And the last piece of this message here is Isagenics, guys. Not everybody is into nutritional companies, supplementation, but many, many people are because our food is nutrient deficient. And we've talked about this from a health perspective before. So again, if you guys are looking for a change in your lifestyle, heck, even just for a side hustle business, but more importantly, just healthy lifestyle changes, please consider reaching out to me. I have Isagenics linked on there, but please feel free to private message me or set up a time on my scheduler on the website, and I'll be happy to talk to you more about this and consider working with me and my team. I'd love helping people get healthier. All right, guys, last piece of this message here is business related. If you look in the business category on there, because we do talk about health, business, and lifestyle, I do have a couple other companies in here. AWeber. AWeber is the best when it comes to email marketing. So please use my link there. I use it for all of my clients and all of my email marketing. There's a lot of different sources out there, but these guys are awesome. And more importantly, all of my IT, all of my website hosting, everything now goes through a company called Singularis IT. I mountain bike and road bike with the owner, Simone. He's been on the show as well. Good people, great technology. Highly recommend them for outsourcing your IT solutions. They're freaking phenomenal. So anyway, guys, I just want to, again, thank you for listening. Please use these tips, tricks. Please visit liveitfuel.com. Check out the resources page. Get that e-guide for free by hopping on the email list. And go to the Fuel Tank on Facebook and join our community. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.